Okay. We are recording.
Good morning. Welcome to the June 8, 2023 meeting of the Orange County Human Relations Commission. The agenda contains a brief general description of each item to be considered. Except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. Public participation is encouraged. Public comments will be accepted during the open forum portion of the meeting. If you are attending in person and wish to speak during open forum, please complete a speaker request form and turn it in to the clerk prior to the start of open forum. We can be Jamie here. Please state your name if you wish to identify yourself prior to speaking. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak, and the clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. Thank you for joining us this morning. I would like to officially open our meeting.
Okay. Item number two is opening quote reflection.
And I believe that is Rhonda this morning.
She's not here.
Okay. Did you want to do something? Did you know something? Okay, we'll move on.
Okay. Item number three is monthly summary of commission activities.
Is this Tasha Norris? It's not Tasha Norris. Yeah.
No,
but
I didn't.
Yes, you are.
I didn't receive it.
You mean this?
The monthly report is not attached.
Oh,
I didn't have it. No, I didn't receive it.
Okay. Remember you wanted to do a report? I mean, one of the highlights that... I don't know if it's included in the agenda. I didn't see it. Was the fact that the Human Relations Council had a good change?
Yes.
Share that. I think that's
share.
A big deal.
It is a big deal.
So the point of the month is a couple weeks ago, OC Human Relations Council held their gala of the year, and they made a big announcement that there's a name change. It's no longer OC Human Relations. Now it's Groundswell. So there's a new brand, there's a new name, there's a new website coming up, so they're working through those details, but we're so excited about the name change. It's been a long road here, but the organization is really looking forward to what this new name change means and can, you know, the impact it can have moving forward. Not only locally, but also beyond Orange County. So that's the big news.
And that's that. Okay,
Next is...
Yes.
I'm sorry, we're having a hard time hearing.
Okay.
If you're speaking from the middle.
Okay.
But I have a question for Norma.
Yes.
Can you just give us a little bit of a nexus of not why the name change, because I think I understand that, but why that name? Or what's the... I like it, but I just want to... I guess I want to get a little more enthusiastic about it.
Yes. So, I think there's a lot of different drivers. There's been a lot of discussion about this name change for a while, and the name itself, it took us a long time to get here, not an input, but really the essence of Groundswell was the imagery around water coming in and out and swelling, and how that provides movement and opportunities to shift and change. And if you look at the slogan, it's "We Shape Tomorrow." So truly with that intent of, if we're able to create those waves, there's change coming. Now I can, next month I can share the video that does a much better job than what I'm doing now, to really give you the essence of where the name comes from and really the hope for it.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Clark, before we move to our next item, I would like to, Ms. Remus did not introduce our newest commissioner, Heather Chapman, from San Juan Capistrano. And Heather, if you could just introduce yourself a little bit.
Sure. Hi, everybody. I'm happy to be here. This is the first time I've served on a commission of any kind, so the new environment is exciting for me. My background is I've been working with nonprofits my whole adult life, a lot of time spent with working with communities in other countries. I worked with a Christian nonprofit that was doing organizational development to help churches do better work with children. And returning back to the United States, I do community development work in a marginalized community in San Juan Capistrano. And through that experience, have become really aware of what it looks like in human form when there's inequities and structural inequities that contribute to harm of our marginalized neighbors and vulnerable populations. So the work that we do is pretty broad because we focus on one particular neighborhood. So I've worked with Jennifer doing COVID vaccine stuff. We've done pandemic relief. We do youth development work, but mostly geared toward supporting the residents in their right to use their voices and make systemic change for themselves. So that's kind of where I come from, and I see myself as a person who like straddles two different worlds, and that gives me kind of this perspective of like I feel like I really understand people who don't see what I see, and that goes both directions. But anyway, my first meeting, I'm mostly here to learn today, but nice to meet y'all.
Okay, next is open forum, and I have not received any requests to speak.
Okay. And we will move on to our next item.
Item number four is student-to-student program members presentation, Jewish Federation of Orange County.
I'm going to stand up so everybody can hear it to me. It gives me great pleasure to welcome student to student. It is really an honor to have these students here of 25, is that how many students we have?
24
this past year, who go around Orange County to local schools and talk about what it means to be Jewish. As you know, sadly, we are number one in hate. That is, we receive a lot of hate to the Jewish people, and it is not something we want to always fight against, in that we could be in a defensive position our whole lives, but rather to celebrate who we are and share that wisdom with people who are open to learn and grow, who are not set in their ways. This group has really had a huge impact. I heard yesterday it was something like in the thousands of students that we have touched during this past year. We're going to try and double it next year. And I just thought this commission's whole purpose is to focus on fighting hate and celebrating the identities of diverse people. And so it's with great pleasure I introduce you Robin Steinmetz, who's really an amazing leader in our Jewish community, bringing together all of these students and these four students here from all over the county, particularly Carly, who I give her baby name and her bat mitzvah, but we'll leave it at that. So we're glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm not going to talk too long because my name is Robin Steinmetz, and I'm the advisor for this program called Student to Student. It's actually a national program, so it's in its second year in Orange County. This was my first year being an advisor for this program. It's probably in over a dozen cities now nationally. I think Sacramento is going to have this program starting this fall, but otherwise we're the only one in California. And this past year we visited approximately six public schools, middle schools, showing up on your middle schools and high schools across Orange County. And we also did a presentation with the Interfaith Youth Alliance. Through that, they have done about
30 presentations in classrooms. It's designed as a classroom presentation where Jewish students from all branches and observance of Judaism come and do a presentation to explain who the Jewish people are, which is what it says up there, who are we? And to show that we're a complex group of people. You can't just define it in a simple way. And to explain that Judaism is not just a religion, but it's also an ethnicity. And we kind of go through explaining not just who we are, but also what are all the Jewish holidays. You know, Hanukkah is not our most significant Jewish holiday. What is this kosher thing? What is that all about? And we culminate in also explaining about the Holocaust. And some of the students have a personal connection through their family to the Holocaust, and also what is modern-day anti-Semitism and how they each have experienced that personally. We come with props, which actually I have one that I'm going to let the students share later. And at the end, I'll show a little clip of a video we put together showing, kind of culminating what, so you can see what it looks like. But the feedback from teachers, we've come into classrooms where this mirrors onto their curriculum. So either they're starting to read a book that deals with the Holocaust in a literature class, an AP World History class where they've learned about World War II and maybe some piece of the Holocaust. Also, you know, ancient civilizations and the Hebrews. There's so many ways for this curriculum to be interjected and to also show that the Jewish people do not want to be just defined by our experience in the Holocaust, that we are a rich culture and that these are classrooms where many of them have not even met a Jewish student before. So I'm not going to do all the talking. I want to them to kind of share why they did this program. You know, they take their time out of their personal life to come out of school and do this, and they've committed a lot of time to this. So why are they doing it? What have they got out of it? What have they learned from the students? Many times students come up to them asking them questions. And what their overall impression is, and if they themselves have experienced anti-Semitism, if they're comfortable, I want them to share that with you as well.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Lucas Sherman. I just finished up my junior year at Foothill. I'd like to thank Rabbi Steinberg and all you guys for having us out here and the opportunity to talk to you guys. I did this for two main reasons. One, my grandpa on my mom's side was born in Poland in the late 1930s, and so all throughout his childhood, they were dodging throughout Europe to avoid the Holocaust, and him and his immediate family survived, but, you know, all of his relatives were killed in the Holocaust, and hearing all the stories from him, and, you know, I'm very blessed he's still alive today, and he's one of my biggest influences in life, and so for me, this is kind of the bare minimum to kind of come out here and educate, you know, people that aren't aware, because I think for the most part, hate stems from ignorance, and so if we can do our job to educate and share some knowledge with some people, I think, you know, senseless jokes, you know, wouldn't be made. And also, I've been blessed with the ability to be, like, a pretty outspoken person, and so where I go to school at Foothill, like, not gonna lie, like, on the day-to-day, I hear comments, you know, whether it's, you know, Holocaust jokes or just anything to do with being Jewish, you know, kids love to throw that in there, and I've learned not to take it too personally. It doesn't make it right, but I have to, you know, in those situations, you kind of have to stay composed. But there's probably a lot of kids who, you know, they probably do take that personally, but won't be able to fight back, won't be able to speak back because, you know, they're not confident. And so, as a confident person myself, and I feel like it's also my duty to, you know, represent those. And so, I've been very thankful for Ms. Simons to get us out there. And I just feel like just my responsibility.
Hi, my name is Leah Kelly, and I've presented at a few schools in Santa Ana Unified School District, and in every classroom I go into, I always ask, have any of you guys ever heard any Holocaust jokes or any anti-Semitic jokes? Every single student raises their hand. But then they also express they've never met a Jewish person. They don't know anything about the Jewish people. And so, you know, obviously that's concerning, but now we are the first Jews that they're ever going to meet. So a few weeks ago, I went to the Santa Ana School Board District meeting because they had just passed an anti-Semitic curriculum that is erasing the Jewish experience and putting a really bad name to the Jewish people. And they passed this curriculum for ethnic studies, and it is now, I want to say it's a requirement now to graduate in Santa Ana schools. This was really problematic, so me and there were many other Jews who went as well, but we were completely outnumbered. We went to go speak and talk about why this is not okay and how they need to revise their curriculum, but we had a lot of pushback, and the board themselves didn't want to hear what we had to say. They were more focused on what the other group had to say. I went up there and I told them, I went into Santa Ana schools. They have never met a Jewish person. They know nothing about the Jewish people. All they know are the jokes. All they know are just the things that they hear from their friends, which is not okay. So student to student is really important to me because we get to go into those schools and put a face to the Jewish people. Maybe we can't change the curriculum no matter how hard we try, but we can go in there and do our part to put a face to our people. And we get that kind of feedback saying, you are the first Jew we've ever met. We didn't know that anti-Semitism was still a problem to this day. We had no idea. But now they do, because student to student gets to put a face to the Jewish people.
My name is Carly Zuckerman, and I just graduated at Shibuya Hills High School. I'm going to UC Santa Cruz next year, and I'm going to be double majoring in anthropology and film in hopes of becoming a documentary filmmaker that can bring forth stories of marginalized groups like ours. Probably traveling if I can. But anyways, Judaism is so important to me. Ever since I was young, I was taught to be proud to be Jewish. It's cool to be Jewish. Rabbi Steinberg ingrained that in us, but I stuck to it anyways, even if he said it or not. And I've always lived that moral. So in my friend groups at school, I've always been the one that's the Jewish one, but no one actually knows what that means. No one knows how I'm living my life. So being in student to student, I even learned myself how to explain Judaism to my friends, how to explain Judaism to my classmates, because they always ask, oh, like, what's kosher? Like, I'm not even kosher. And they're asking me, and I honestly never could give an answer, but through student to student, I learned more about other branches of Judaism. There's so many different people who practice. So it gives me a way to explain to people what I'm living every day, and all my friends know me as Jewish, but like they don't know the things that I'm living every day, every week. So it gives me a chance to explain that and always be proud of my Judaism. And going into college, it's going to help me explain like where I come from and stuff like that, because there's a lot of, in Santa Cruz, there's a lot of very, very left people who delegitimize Israel, and that's always been so painful to me, and I still struggle with explaining it or being able to show my side. But now, being in student to student, I can come from a place where I can explain just my culture and everything that's important to me. So yeah, I'm very, very grateful for this experience, being a Jewish person in this world. So thank you.
I joined student to student because in my theater class there was this boy who kept making really insensitive jokes and comments, and I asked him to stop, and he did for a little while, but then it just continued. He would make jokes about the gas chambers and the Holocaust and concentration camps. He said that one of my friends looked like a Jew and that he was going to go DEFCON 3 on him in reference to the Kanye West tweet. And it eventually got so bad where I had to take him to the principal's office. And he apologized in front of the principal, but then some mutual connections of ours informed me that he had not stopped at all. He was just not making those comments in front of me. And during that time, I felt really, really alone and isolated because I am one of the very few Jewish people that go to Trey High School. I am so, so grateful that I've gotten to know some of the other Jewish people that go there and they helped me form a community. I started a club on my campus called Lachaim, that means to life in Hebrew, and we try to stop anti-Semitism on my campus. But student to student has been such an amazing opportunity. I love teaching all of the kids about my identity and my culture and my heritage. It's really funny sometimes what the kids say. I remember one time we were giving a presentation, and one of the things we have in our presentation is a map of Israel compared to the size of California. And so it has Israel beside California to show how small it is. And this one girl raised her hand and she said, "Wait, so like, is Israel in California?" But it just shows that these kids have really no experience with Judaism or Israel or like the Jewish faith. And then another presentation, I was talking about the Kanye West tweet and other anti-Semitic things that have happened. And one student who's been like a really active participant all throughout the presentation, he said, "Well, what else can you expect?" And yeah, that's what's scary about it. This is what we expect. We expect this hatred all of the time. And it's really scary. And so student to student kind of helps these kids learn about what Judaism is. As evident in the Holocaust, the world kind of likes to paint Jewish people very, very negatively. And so student to student helps these kids realize that Jewish people are people before anyone else can tell them otherwise. Thank you.
You can see these are like amazing teens, and that's 4 out of 24 amazing teens. And you know, and I'm getting applications for next year and reading, and in part of that story of the application, I'm asking them, you know, if you have your own experience with anti-Semitism, please share. And I know Rabbi Steinberg can say this, it is becoming normalized in our K-12 schools for teens and young people to be dealing with anti-Semitism and Holocaust jokes and just comments in general. It is becoming normalized. And I think, as Julia mentioned, it becomes that much more important for the understanding of the Jewish people, not just as a religion, but as an ethnicity. Some of our students, they identify themselves as cultural Jews. They're not religious in any way, but they identify with the history and the culture of being Jewish. So it shows that piece is needed in the ethnic studies future curriculum. And I wanted to just share that, you know, if you know of a school that you think can benefit from this program or a classroom, I'm going to leave my cards. I would love to connect with the teachers. I've had school board members contact me when they've had an incident and want to have student-to-student come and do a presentation, whether it be to school board members or to classrooms, which is what we're really designed for, but all of it is great, and they truly are our ambassadors, and I'm super proud of them. We did, like I said, we've impacted over 1,000 students and teachers this year in Orange County in our second year, and I do hope that we grow. If I have time, I would show just a very brief snippet, just so you kind of get, I made a video for the students, and I'm going to show you all of it, but I can show you a little piece of it that kind of tells you. And then we bring props to the classroom, and I don't know if one of you doesn't mind grabbing the book. I left it on the chair. We can share. It's called "An Everyone with Someone," and it's a book with the word Jew 6 million times. And we bring these to the classrooms to let the students really understand. It's hard to conceptualize that number, to really understand what that looks like. So this is one of the schools we went to. It's like,
wait, just to be able to play guys with them? That's very cool.
Yeah. It's just a little bit of background music. But you can see they come out of it really, it's a very interactive teaching, peer-to-peer education. And honestly, this is a great format for in many communities to be able to do something like this.
no, it's just a very heartwarming experience, and I've been very grateful to be a part of this and to connect with the teachers as well in the school. And yeah, I look forward to it growing. So thank you. You kind of get a sense of what they come in and do. At this school, we do 11 presentations in one day in Santa Ana. So they want to, it's not an assembly type program, it's really classroom based so that students feel comfortable to ask questions and interact. So thank you.
Time for a couple of questions if anyone has questions.
I just want to thank you guys so much for what you're doing. As a Jewish person and a mom as well, someone who grew up and facing many of the comments, you said, I'm getting a little choked up because, like, the future is so good in your hands. And I'm really proud of you. So thank you.
Thank you again. Like, I think this is a great way to educate. So what a wonderful program. I'm glad to know it exists. I did have a question. So you're going to junior high and senior high, right? Is there one or the other that's more interactive or receptive? Like, can you speak to that, like, through your experience?
I feel like high school students tend to have more questions. Definitely when I went to Newport Harbor High School, there was a lot more interaction. I guess it also just depends on which school you go to, but as for middle school, a lot of them are pretty quiet, except for the honors English class. They were full of questions and constantly raising their hand, which is really great.
Okay.
I think the middle schoolers, they're more important to impact because the jokes that end up when they start very young, like all around school. So it's more important to impact the middle schoolers and go to the younger kids and teach them earlier, but the high schoolers definitely face it more and are more interactive as well. So I think just going above is great.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the teachers, you know, we've learned through this year, you know, maybe they're a little, the students are reserved to ask a question, but if you tell them just write down your question and don't put your name, but we'll just collect your questions, we get a lot of good questions that way. And like I said, when the organization is a national organization, like I said, so they give us what they want, the surveys to the teachers and to students, and everything has been, like, positive. They got, you know, it's like everything's positive in terms of the impact on the student, and many of the teachers really understood that, you know, if we're teaching and training, and this is potentially an eighth grade student's first introduction to the Holocaust, that being able to learn about the Jewish people from peers or close in age peers is really impactful. You know, we don't want just to be identified as from the Holocaust.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask. How are the schools chosen that you send the kids into?
So when I came on last year was their first year, and they had done presentations in two schools. This year it was six schools. And so my job coming in was really trying to sell the program to a classroom. And I think that's the hardest part of the job, is you know, getting them into a classroom and for teachers to see the value and taking the classroom time to have students come in. So it is, that's why I say I leave my card, and if there's, you know, of a teacher that you think would benefit and see the value or a principal, you know, like we got into Newport Harbor High because I knew somebody who has a very strong connection to the principal there and a particular teacher there. So it's those connections and that really make this program grow, and so I'm looking to, you know, value your feedback and connections as well. So that's why I'll give my card. Because I'm hoping we have 24 this year. I hope we have, I mean, awesome if we have double that, but, you know, I'm confident we'll have 30 to 40 students participating next year. And for it to grow into something where it ventures, like I said, we did the Interfaith Youth Alliance programming with them, and there's value in teens from the Jewish community talking to other
marginalized groups or other faith groups. So I see this as a great model for future things.
Yeah, just real quick, as a representative of public safety, but also a commissioner on the sport, I just want to say thank you, and I truly admire your devotion, your love, your passion for the Jewish faith, the Jewish culture, and I think what's pretty powerful is your bravery and devotion to go out there and talk in front of your peers. That's probably the toughest group to stand up and speak and try to educate. And you do it, and you've done it so many times, and you should be very proud of yourself for that. And I think the impact goes beyond the Jewish faith, because a lot of the communities that you have visited within Orange County, with Orange County being so diverse, you've probably touched someone that is of fill-in-the-blank background that has experienced hate themselves just because of the way they look or their own faith or whatever, who they love or whatever it may be. So you have not only gone out and provided that education that and that it's not okay to hate someone because of their ignorance or whatever it may be, but you've also empowered others to speak up and say, hey, it's not okay to say anything against me or my culture or my family or my faith because of where I am. So my hat's off to all of you. And if you're ever looking to become police officers, they're by the time. You recruit the best.
And I think I'll tag on that, they've taken it upon themselves. They create the presentations. The organization kind of gives the framework of what the topics are, but they get to kind of create it as a team. And I think all of them have, at the end of their presentations, they universalize the message, right? So they usually end, it's building up who are the Jewish people and what does it all mean, and then culminating kind of telling about the Holocaust and anti-Semitism, but ending with a universal message of against being allies, speaking up, and combating hate in general, but hopefully with a better understanding of what Jew hate looks like as well.
I would just like to congratulate all of you for being a part of this program. This is amazing. You're phenomenal. You speak so well, and I can only imagine what it's like in the classroom with your peers. And you are making a difference. You are really making a difference. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other questions?
You guys don't have to stay if you don't want to. Welcome to it. It's fascinating.
Item number 5 is review, discuss, and vote to sign on to and join support of statement issued by Anti-Defamation League, Women for American Values and Ethics, and Human Rights Council regarding hateful rhetoric directed at Anaheim Mayor Ashley Aiken, which is attached as Attachment A.
Thank you.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to stand up there too because it seemed like it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, I reached out to Norma because I was contacted by a member of the LGBTQ community, Michael Sean Wright, who I know Norma's worked with before, who had noted that Mayor Aiken of Anaheim was on the receiving end of a lot of hate. And that was because, in part because of her position in inviting a certain group to Anaheim, but also her general position in support of the LGBTQ community. And so I sent on the statement that the ADL and WAVE and the Human Rights Campaign had signed off on, condemning the sort of comments and hateful attacks she faced. And I thought it might be something that this group may have an interest either in, first of all, just discussing, second of all, considering signing on, or possibly issuing their own statement. And I think it's important for us to look at not necessarily because it is impacting one individual elected official, but because we're in a time right now where the LGBTQ community is facing tremendous adversity, structural and legal changes throughout the country that are impacting them and harming them. And really, it seems like this has been the most difficult Pride Month that I can remember in history of Pride Month because of the sort of hate-filled attacks that are just becoming more and more commonplace in our community. So I don't have a motion at this point. I thought it makes sense to discuss it. I was asked, one of the commissioners did ask, to get an example of some of the comments. Now, this wasn't my statement, so I don't have all of the background and historical information why the ADL, you know, chose this to respond to. And I didn't have the comments, but I went online and I thought, well, let me just look at Twitter, because I'm sure some of it's there. And I was able just to look at one of the mayor's posts about Pride, and just started screenshotting some of the comments. And I do have copies of them. I don't know, were they emailed or do you want me to pass them off?
They weren't emailed.
So again, if you want to take a look, it's really a tiny font. I'm going to have to. But I found that what was most alarming about the comments were that they were filled with their own sort of gross prejudice toward the mayor, attacking her for saying you're not really a member of your faith if you stand with the LGBT community as a Catholic. How dare you do that? Calling her a groomer or a child molester for standing with the LGBT community, calling for repentance, another sort of inflammatory rhetoric, talking about sociopathy and mental health in characterizing the LGBT community. So these comments were not just directed at Mary Egan, but they're directed at the entire LGBT community. And I mean, there's just two pages here, but some of them are pride is a sin God hates and a sin that hates God. And you can just take a look. I don't want to, they're so disgusting. I just thought it's time for us, it's an appropriate time for us to look at what's going on and talk about it and see if we want to address it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Yes.
Thank you, Lauren, for bringing this up, and I don't know if it's proper or not to sort of broaden the discussion in relation to what happened yesterday at the Board of Supervisors and the vote that they took. I know that I put out a statement yesterday and quoted the report that we did in 2021, and it shows obviously a rise in hate towards LGBTQ community. But I think it would be important for as many groups as possible to show that Orange County is a place where LGBTQ community is loved and welcomed. And I think that if we can wrap, you know, Mayor Akin and her leadership around this issue into it, I'd like to see some sort of a statement from us move forward.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I agree with that analysis in that. Thank you for raising the issue, Commissioner. I think this is a little too narrow, and it sets a precedent for this. Every politician has something. I'll just tell you a very quick story. Many of you know my brother is the mayor of Sacramento, and so my mother somehow found his Facebook page, and there was all sorts of anti-Semitic and horrible things written about him. So she starts commenting back, "Do not speak about my son that way. That is inappropriate." So then my other brother, and I caught on. He's like, "Mom, you can't do that. Don't do that." So exactly. So we solved that problem. But I just think every politician is going to have this hate directed to them, and a general statement from this group about that might be very appropriate. And it makes me think maybe we should have a standing statement for every Pride Month that the commission comes out with and says, no, we support LGBTQ rights, so forth and so on. So I like the idea of broadening it a bit and really thinking just to maybe even stay ahead of what will come down the pike for June of 2024 and set up something maybe with Groundswell and with the OC Human Relations Commission. Like exactly what happened Tuesday at the Board of Supervisors as well. So I would support broadening it more than making it narrow.
Very good points, Commissioner Buseno, as well as Heimberg. I think, too, that it would be important for us to broaden it. We definitely need to make some type of a statement. There's too much of this going on, and as you brought in, as far as the Board of Supervisors meeting, it's kind of giving us mixed messages of what we're working towards and what they're supporting us to work towards, and then that was their conclusion. So I think we need to speak out as a commission for sure.
So looking at the line item, number 5, right, is to review, discuss, vote on to join the statement.
Mm-hmm.
Should we take care of that, and then we move on? Because I think we're talking about both.
Yes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, can I just ask, add one more thing?
Yes.
And that is, I really appreciated you sending the email just a couple days before the Tuesday meeting. And Norma, I guess this is a request for you and maybe for some of our county staff as well. If there's any way to get as much notice as possible, because the truth of the matter is this commission is also appointed by the Board of Supervisors, and I just wonder if some phone calls before... once something's agendized, or even the board's agendized, if a phone call from the sitting commissioner to the person who appointed them, hey, what are you thinking about this? Here's how the commission feels. I mean, that is part of our role to do it, and that might be the most effective way to approach these kind of things, if possible. I know as soon as you knew, you sent it to us, but that would be super helpful to not only work in this public forum, but also in the private forum as well.
And if I could just say, I really agree with what everyone said. This was something I sent to Norma as an example of something for us to address. Facts have things have transpired since then. And so I think the idea of a general statement in support of Pride Month, in support of our LGBT community, or a standing statement makes a lot of sense. It does express our values. And I appreciate just looking at this as by way of an example.
Thank you. Thank you. And a couple things looking at, because I'm an elected as well, so obviously a lot of my constituents don't agree with some of the decisions that I make either. And that public forum for the public to be able to say if they don't like what an elected is doing is extremely important in our society, regardless of what the issue is. And so I would really appreciate this commission treating that very delicately, especially when it comes to the mayor. Also, I'm thinking back to, because some of the comments were just a dissent, a general dissent. It wasn't, but I do see some of those Twitter ones cross the line. I definitely see that. When we were in Santa Ana and we were talking with the transgender community, and I specifically asked that guy because I said, as an elected, there's a lot of important marginalized groups in our communities. And as an elected, I try not to play favorites. I want them to all know that they're important and I care about them. And so the example of the flag going up and down, I feel like is, he said, that flag going up or down is not as important as the fact that we were just seen and heard about our community. And I said, okay, and that gave them a forum to do that because the subject matter was on the agenda and they had a chance to come and speak to that. And he didn't seem to be devastated that the flag was not up, but he really appreciated the opportunity to have that discussion within, the broader community. Because obviously there's a lot of different groups that come before us and ask us for things, and so it's a constant battle as an elected group, and I'm sure the county is just magnified bigger. So, but one of the things that
I would really like us to consider that I feel like we get so much great information here about all different things that are going on that most people never hear. And I guess I feel like, could we do something to make a statement about we don't expect everybody to believe and act the same, but we expect if you have a dissent to do it in a respectful way. You know, there's a way to do that. And so you can say, like, I don't agree with that, but you can't, you know, taking it a step further. And so I didn't know if maybe we could use this opportunity to define that for the public. Do you see what I'm saying? Especially with, you know, electeds really get it. And I know especially in Anaheim, they have some constituents that come to public comment. And if you heard them speak to their electeds, and this has gone on for years, it is horrific, the things that they say to them on every issue, much less this one. So I didn't know if, you know, if we do decide to take action, if that is something we could consider including kind of on behalf of all groups. You know, that there's a way to have discourse. There's a way to state your position respectfully, you know, and that our job is to educate and make people aware of that, you know, and, you know, to the point of our presentation today, right, educating. So that's kind of my thoughts.
Actually, I appreciate your feedback on that. I I'm not an elected official. I don't ever plan to be one.
Famous last words.
And it's one of those things where I really do empathize just the response, perhaps, from the public that you guys often receive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that more toes on code of conduct, where it's more up to, that's not really related at the time with what we're addressing right now with the LGBT community and Pride Month, because the consequences of what people say and do that affect this community can be deadly, you know? And I think that there's a difference between, these are people that were not elected to be gay, they were not elected to face this hate, right? Does that make sense to you? Whereas for elected officials, unfortunately, there is the good and there is definitely the bad. And there are, like, there's parameters, right? You have security, you have all these staff, you have ways to protect yourself, whereas LGBTQ. That day, I remember on Tuesday, Supervisor Sarmiento actually spoke about his own son and how, you know, he realizes that in the position that he will have, you know, when he goes out in public with his partner, can have deadly consequences. It's not just words. It's not just people giving them side eye, right? You can literally just be attacked and that's it. So when it comes to modifying the statement that if we actually make, I think that it should be really hyper focused on the community that we're trying to celebrate and elevate, because it is about giving them a platform to have a voice. But I'm also concerned about their safety.
Chair Matsuba, I have a motion to make.
Sure.
I would like to make a motion to draft a statement of support for the LGBT community during Pride Month, including denouncing the hate against the mayor of Anaheim and uplifting, just Pride in general. So you commissioned folks, right, to do the drafting. I think it sort of merits a quick, quick action from us, but I just want to make that motion and see if somebody will.
Can I ask you a question? Is there any way that you would consider amending your motion to not include the mayor, because there's a lot of other electeds that have received this kind of treatment on this issue?
I think we should include them.
Okay, I don't know how hard it would be to get that list, but.
My motion stands
with
the
mayor.
All right.
Okay, so, and would you be interested in drafting?
Yes, I would.
All right. So, all in favor?
Aye.
You want to roll up? Being drafted? Okay, aye. How many again? All in favor, so did you get it?
Do you want me to roll call?
Yeah.
Or do you, or you can just ask all opposed or all abstained?
You can do
it. Okay, I can do a roll.
I feel like I need, in order for me to vote yes, I feel like I need to see the statement because I want to see how the.
This is too drastic.
The
cover is too drastic.
Okay. Yeah.
So
okay.
Wouldn't vote on the actual statement.
So it would come back to, because we're
I
dark.
I just want to see how this is referenced.
Oh, yeah. It will come back
compared
to
like the
and
community at large.
I have to say, like, because it's, you know, we work with the county, the statement will change over time for PAPS. So even if you see a draft, it will change.
Oh, because that's to go through that.
Yeah,
I got it.
So that's a real.
I have
an
experience.
Hit the statement. Could
possibly.
So before roll call and vote, I want to remind commissioners that next month is dark, so we don't have meeting. So we either push the statement in 2 months, or we call a special meeting before July.
August 10th.
August 10th.
The next meeting.
We call a special meeting for the vote on the statement.
It's kind of time.
Just
want
to.
Can we do electronic? Are we allowed to do?
No.
We're not allowed to do it.
Have to be in person. Or form.
Yeah.
Can I make one more comment on it?
Yes.
Go ahead.
The bylaws do have two mechanisms in there for statement. One is approved by the county and one is not approved by the county. So make sure to weigh that under consideration because one is a little lengthier process and you would need to get the facts, obviously.
Chairman,
yes.
I have a follow-up question.
Yes.
What are the one that is only approved by the commissioners, what's the... after the draft, what happens? I mean,
that
can we potentially come up with something right now and get it passed before the end of the meeting?
Well, that's interesting.
I believe in the case, if the commission votes to approve that statement, it can be issued. The caveat from the bylaw indicates that it must stay on the top. I believe that it's not a statement on behalf of the county. I think you have language, Norma, and
yeah.
Past statements. But the quorum must support that statement, and it would say the county is not.
It doesn't have to be agendized?
Well, the question we did agendize number 6 for the purpose of joint, because 5 didn't give you the flexibility, so the hope was 6 might give you that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
If it's written in relation to that issue, if you go beyond that, I would have to ask the council, and that would be challenging.
I have a question. So the statement will include the language that this is not endorsed by the county or me?
The very top of that statement says
that's
that.
What we usually do. I think it's fine.
And there's a wonderful template I think normally you probably access to, but the current ones. Historically, or posted online at the top of that, they do say that if they were not approved by the county.
I'm trying to figure out how we get done while we're in the middle of
it. It would be nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
it's kind of a timely subject. So.
I'm willing to take a stab at it and check something out and see if you guys like it.
That sounds
sure.
Great.
That's if you guys are in agreement. I did want to make a separate motion. Which is that I would make a motion that we draft a statement in support of Pride Month as a commission that is a standing statement that we could use annually, raise that annually, and that does not need to be completed today because it will be forever.
So. I think that's kind of what Rabbi Steinberg was.
Right.
Was and that would be worth waiting for county
mm-hmm.
to weigh in on.
Absolutely.
Yes. So we have
I think that's an important component of it.
Sure.
And I am hopeful that they would.
I'm happy to. I'll second it.
So, Commissioner Briceño, are you rescinding your motion then?
I'm not.
No.
Okay, so we need to vote on one first and then vote on the other.
I'm sorry. So, I'm envisioning this as follows. We're going to do a statement of support for the now that we're dealing with, to support for the LGBTQ community in Pride Month now, including denouncing the hate against Ashley Aiken, the mayor of Anaheim. So that's what we're working on right now, and then what I understand is that Laura wants another one that's standing ongoing that does not include the mayor.
Which could be agendized later, correct?
Yes.
Correct,
yes.
Correct.
So
Are we going to talk?
So we'll talk, take a roll on the first one.
So Jennifer, I just want to be sure I understood your position, that it, with respect to Commissioner Briceño's motion, you think it takes away from the LGBT community to also include the electeds?
No.
Okay.
That's not
what I meant. Okay, I want to be sure I understood what you meant.
To go into, to describe, like, for example, or to, essentially, okay, it's the feedback from the public getting on, right? That it is important, like she said, that the public be able to speak, but in terms of, like, the trying to connect that with the LGBTQ community, what they face out there, they don't have parameters to protect themselves from free speech when they're attacked verbally or even physically.
So, but wouldn't this motion be doing that, essentially, to...
Oh, yeah, that's what I want. I agree with Commissioner Briceño, actually, her motion.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to be sure I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Commissioner Chapman has a question.
Being new here, is there any kind of mechanism in place that someone is keeping an eye on elected officials' social media to see if hate speech occurs? Or is social media included in hate speech that we, that this commission typically addresses in terms of denouncing things that occur on social media if it's something very public, like with an elected official? Or would this be the first time that denouncing that kind of hateful rhetoric would be denounced officially by a commission?
If I remember correctly, there was a statement or two last year around some elected officials facing me, and the commission issued statements on that.
But I don't think there's like a mechanism to track it, right?
No, it happens to come to the attention of the commission.
There was one from Katrina Poling where she was harassed and, you know, in trouble in front of her home when there were protests in front of her home.
Yeah.
And then there were both Supervisor Andrew Doe. And there was another supervisor, right? Speech towards
Councilmember Tammy Kim and everybody.
Oh, yes.
That occurred in public or in writing or in social media.
Oh,
I guess my question is, like, in terms of the scope of work, would this be the first time that the commission is saying we're going to denounce things that occur on social media just due to the commissioner's point of, like, this is a big, it happens a lot. Hate speech occurring on social media.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know specifically, you know, if it was social media. I don't know what was Supervisor Doe's situation was.
It was from the podium.
It was from the podium. Yeah.
Mm.
So one was from the podium. I don't know.
Well, sometimes they do it in public comment, and probably more times than not, it's social media because. They would never talk about it in public,
right?
I'm
sure.
Yeah.
Can you ask a question?
Yeah, because I don't think there is how to meet yet.
Can we expand, maybe, as we talk about later, care about this, and can we maybe say in other elected officials that have experience? So that way, because we all know that there are elected officials, not to get into politics, but just I've been around it enough, you know, in my city where if someone has a stance on something, there's a lot of hate speech, especially, you know, with Pride Month. I think we can broaden it a little bit more so it kind of includes everybody and not necessarily just single out I'm there. So that would just be my suggestion. Because I think there's regardless of the topic, there's a lot of hate speech out there that is targeted. But this one, I think, is timely, and I think if you could broaden on it a little bit, that might kind of cover everybody that's been impacted. That would just be my suggestion.
I think we should do that. I think we should say what happened to Mayor Aiken and any other elected official
Perfect.
that may experience
similar hate.
Same thought. I was just, my sentence structure was the opposite in my mind of saying, like, denouncing the hateful rhetoric directed at elected officials who are engaged in supporting the LGBT community, such as the example with Mayor Fromming. Either direction works.
I don't really want to get into this, but I think we should. I am sensitive to the idea that everybody has the right to expression in any way that they want.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also sensitive to the Catholic Church, who has clergy that they feel are being disrespected. I don't know exactly what the word would be by this particular group that caused the issue here. So I feel torn in that way, that in supporting one group's right to express themselves as they so desire, which is absolutely their right,
mm-hmm.
and another group that feels disrespected or made fun of, I don't know exactly what the word is, by that particular group, does cause me some pause, and I don't know, I think that's worth a discussion as well before we go through with this. I just can imagine people dressing up as rabbis and whatnot, and that would be fine. They have that expression to do, but that doesn't mean I might not be offended by it. I just don't know. I don't know enough to really speak particularly about it, but I know that part is worthy of our discussion at least.
I feel we're having a discussion about the folks that came into the city. I think that my concern is that as we see, right, this escalates, right? And so pointing out where there's a hatred that's happening for one of the issues that that is an issue that we have jurisdiction over. Regardless of what prompted that issue, I think we've got to focus on the hate that's coming out of it. And, if it goes unsaid and unchecked in some ways, what's the next thing that will happen? So the consequences that got to the hateful speech from me is not that relevant. I think that the relevancy is how far that person was willing to take it and feel like it's acceptable, to threaten and to coerce and to discriminate and to spew the hate.
I can see where Rabbi is coming from. I mean, I feel, as you brought up, the Catholic Church at this point feels they are the ones being targeted, and they are the ones being hated, and they're, so it's kind of a tricky position with this specific incident, because the group, the discussion that started because of this group and the Dodgers, taking them and then, turning them away, and then the Angels picking them up, it was targeting that specific group who happen to be LGBT in the LGBTQ community. But the bishop has spoken on it, saying we feel as Catholics that our faith is being targeted. So it's kind of tricky how we're going to state this, because that was really a specific group that brought that on, and I don't think that there's any cause for the amount of hate that's spewed out of it. But also, when you look at it, the flip side, the Catholic Church feels like they're being persecuted, targeted at this point, and ridiculed, and because of the way that particular group performs, their performance is pretty
provocative.
Yeah, it's pretty provocative. So,
so we don't need to focus on the sisters or whatever it is that we support.
Yeah.
That's not the point here,
okay.
but.
Yeah.
for example, in this case, mm-hmm. the mayor was said, I hope you end up like milk, dead, okay? No one's saying that to the Catholic Church, right? They're not being, in this example, attacked, harassed, and threatened to, in a way that allies of the LGBTQ community are, or that our LGBTQ community is being harassed and threatened. So I think if we focus on condemning threats, condemning violence against hate, we don't have to go there.
Okay.
And I can't imagine that anyone would call for that. I understand, I'm sensitive to the issue too, but maybe we can take ourselves away from that.
But that's exactly why focusing on this particular mayor, who I adore and support in every way, would raise that flag, as opposed to saying all elected officials and making it more general. I would be much more in support of that, because it takes away the issue, the underlying antecedent, if you will, which is an interesting issue in and of itself, but your point is that that's not what we're dealing with. So I just don't want to get caught in dealing with it by making a statement.
Let's see how the original motion goes, and then if we want to modify, then that's, you know, then the body can do that.
Okay, yeah, we'll move on then before we vote on that.
Okay.
Okay.
So do you want to come back to item 6 as well then?
Yes.
Correct? Okay, so we'll move on to item 7. Establish ad hoc committee for members to serve on report analysis work group.
Okay, so there is a group already formed community members as well as members from Brownsville, right, to present the report, the annual report. And we're looking to get two commissioners to join that committee. And
what's the time frame and the obligation?
Well, it will be, there are two meetings scheduled, one for Tuesday, June 20th, from 1 to 3 p.m. at Groundswell, and one Thursday, June 22nd, from 10 to 12 p.m. at Groundswell.
So as part of our bylaws, there is a member of the commission who needs to form an ad hoc committee of reviewing the report that's put out. This year, we created a committee that not only would include commissioners, but includes community partners. So we have partners in the Peace Plan Prevention Network. They're going to help us with the data analysis and just the, you know, the narrative behind the report. And those dates have been set. We are moving along pretty fast because we need to have that report into the county for approval before August. And our report comes out in September. So I felt that getting the dates ahead of time would be helpful for those who are available. We are meeting in person, and you will be part of probably a group of 10 people who are going to be looking at the data together.
June 20th is 1 to 3 p.m. Thursday is 10 to 12 p.m. Is anyone?
I'm having a hard time.
Is anyone available to sit on that committee? The date of joining that committee would be, the meetings would be Tuesday, June 20th, and Thursday, June 22nd.
Is the hate crime report?
This is the hate crime report, reviewing the hate crime report, yes.
I think the chief stepped out, but I think he served on that last time. Is that correct?
You're asking me to remember what
happened. I'm not volunteering the chief.
Yay! I'm not volunteering. Okay, thank you, chief. cave with
the That's a great idea.
So we
mark our calendar.
We're looking out for two commissioners for the the committee. Well, you know, that's
okay.
For the committee to have the annual report. The dates would be Tuesday, June 20th from 1 to 3 p.m. at Groundswell, and Thursday, June 22nd from 10 to 12 p.m. also at Groundswell. And we were wondering if you would be interested in sitting on that and helping with that.
Sure.
Okay, so we have one. Thank you, Commissioner. Kent? Chief Kent?
Okay, nobody else is going to volunteer. I'll volunteer.
Wow.
Just like that.
Very enthusiastic about it.
I was hoping to myself.
Yeah.
Also
very happy to join them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you
for stepping up. Appreciate that. Okay. So,
okay, so Commissioner Kent, Commissioner Wang.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. For the next item is Reestablish Bylaws Ad Hoc Committee to readdress bylaw revisions for Board of Supervisors consideration.
So I received news that after the commission submitted the recommendation changes for the bylaws, that county staff were asked the commission to reestablish an ad hoc to review, to discuss some of the questions that came back from the Board of Supervisors based on the changes, specifically around statements. Unfortunately, I have not been included in any of the discussions. What I heard was that the Board of Supervisors' questions were going to go directly to their appointed commissioners to talk about their concerns and questions. I don't know if that's happened.
Not for me.
So I think at this point, reestablishing the ad hoc would be important, and then reroute back to the Board of Supervisors and figure out what the questions are.
I thought we had left it, that the changes were some county issues, there weren't any of our issues. That's the last communication I had, right?
That was one. One of them was around city selection appointments.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that that's where the questions are coming from.
Okay. We were so close. This is the gift that keeps on giving.
Right.
I'm happy to volunteer.
So are we going to be the same people that were on it before then?
I mean, I'm happy to volunteer.
I think we only have one person left.
Is Dot
clearly
still? Is Dot still?
I was going to say,
yeah, she is.
Yeah. She's just not doing well today. But,
yeah.
She and I are happy to do it.
Okay.
This is made of all of you know that, right?
Okay,
so
Dot would say, I thought this was
over. She thought it was over.
And then they'll instruct us if they want us to go to our supervisors or something?
Well, at this point, in establishing the ad hoc, we'll have to plan out and figure out and reach out to the county or, you know, how we're going to communicate back to the Board of Supervisors' office to figure out what the questions are.
Okay.
And then,
so can we set up Zoom and then
I think certainly. I think just so for the reference, it was on the agenda and it would have to be deleted from the, or continued or deleted from the agenda. So at that point, the assumption is comments were made or people who were appointed by supervisors might have more insight into that direction. But we're happy to set up that.
I'm just not sure the sequence and what exactly is wanted. But
we can go over the timeline.
If you go through me, then I can inform the commission through the chair about who needs to contact who.
Yes.
I think we have something.
Okay. Please.
So, Lauren, thank you so much for drafting it. Please, I'll go slow so you can try to absorb this quickly. The Orange County Human Relations Commission stands with our Orange County LGBTQ+ community during Pride Month and every other month of the year. We are troubled by the increase in harmful rhetoric harassment and institutional acts of discrimination and hate towards the LGBTQ plus community. Our commission reported an 83% increase in hate crimes against the LGBTQ plus community in 2021. Since 2021, we have only seen the prevalence of hate towards the LGBTQ plus community increase. We also denounce the threatening and hate-filled attacks on elected officials and allies to the LGBTQ plus community, including by recent example, Anaheim Mayor Aiken. No member of our rich and diverse community deserves to be threatened or harassed for who they are or who they love. I can pass it to someone if you want to take a look, or I can reread it.
And you found those stats on our website?
Yes. Yes.
Well,
if somebody wants to double check it,
The only thing I would add, which is what we add to all of our other statements, is we're going to report.
Mm-hmm.
Kind
okay.
of uplifting our campaign and having a resource, having resources there.
So you would add that piece?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's beautiful. I support it completely. If you could just check out the references of the mayor of Anaheim and just leave it more general, I think that would not raise the issue of the conflict between what one group feels is hateful and our elected officials. But I know there's a different opinion there. That's okay.
So does somebody... Do you have a comment?
Yeah, because I think it's part of this line item, and number six, they may reject it because there's not a reference to something in there.
Oh.
If
that was just mentioned.
Who might have rejected it?
In terms of they
whether or not it was on the agenda to discuss.
Oh, I see.
Who decides that?
Maybe.
Who's that?
So they just mentioned it, didn't they?
What was that?
So are we allowed to
so
just remove?
You don't have an opinion about it now.
Because isn't it part of the motion, part of the agenda? Number six, right?
Number six is allowing the commission to draft its own statement.
Right.
So do you want to make a motion?
Which would be a friendly amendment to.
All right. So let me just delete.
If you're comfortable.
Well, I'm comfortable with the majority.
Gotcha. You're good.
Let me just read what the item in question would have been, the last paragraph. We also denounce the threatening and hate-filled attacks on elected officials and allies to the LGBTQ plus community, period. No member of our rich and diverse communities deserves to be threatened or harassed for who they are or who they love. Mm-hmm. So no reference of Mayor Aiken.
I will support that.
All right, so there's a motion. Chair Matsuda, do you want to? I think we have consensus.
I think, well, it looks like we have consensus, but is there a motion to accept the statement that was drafted today?
I'll make a motion to accept the statement that was drafted today as written.
Okay, the second is right.
Okay,
and so we'll take a.
Can we do roll call?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I can do roll call. All right. Okay, I'll just go in alpha order. Commissioner Briceño?
I'm sorry?
I'm doing roll call vote.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Commissioner Chapman?
Yes.
Commissioner Duran is absent. Commissioner Johnson Norris?
Yes.
Commissioner Kent?
Yes.
Commissioner Leach is absent. Commissioner Lee is absent. Commissioner Matsuba?
Yes.
Commissioner Shader?
Yes.
Commissioner Wang, I'm sorry, Commissioner Steinberg?
Yes.
And Commissioner Wang?
Yes.
Okay, it passes unanimously.
Thank you for doing that.
I just want to thank you guys so much.
Yes.
So proud to be a part of this and to be a part of this.
It's definitely timely, so
thank
I'm
so
glad
much.
We could get it out right away.
So just by information, if I can get a copy of that so that I can just put it on a template and then
add it to the minutes as well. Yes, please.
Lauren, that was for you.
I'm sorry, I missed
it.
I'm going to send it right now.
Okay.
Just forward it to me, Norma, please.
Well, the full copyright.
Okay. Yes, please. Yes. Okay, so are we, okay, so we did 7 and 8. Are we going back to item 5, or are we?
Should we vote on item 5?
About the statement.
Review, discuss, and vote.
We did.
Well, we did our own statement.
We made substitute motions, I think.
Pardon me?
We make a substitute motion.
We could, no, we could vote and just say no, that we're not going to add on. Or, you know, we obviously.
The answer is no. So let's take that out.
Okay, so.
Hold on. That, we just did that in response to that particular motion.
Well, so there were two different things on the floor,
six.
Actually. One was actually joining in on their statement. That was number 5.
We had the discussion, so it's not like we didn't.
You don't have to take action.
Yeah, I don't think we should take action.
Okay.
Okay.
That's fine. Okay.
Moving on.
So we'll go to item 9. Commission staff reports, A, Attorney General Bonta's hate crime roundtable, and B, new staff updates.
Right. So, a couple of weeks ago, I received a call from AG Bonta's office that they were hosting a hate crime roundtable meeting in Anaheim. Our fearless leader wasn't available, so guess who was there? So that was not it was actually a really incredible setup. There was close to 20 different community leaders at the table, some of the AG volunteer staff, and I had an opportunity to share about Hate Hurts Us All campaign and the amazing work that the amazing group work the commission is doing a little bit around the data itself. But really, the roundtable meeting was set up for folks to share what type of hate activity has been happening in their communities and what protocol strategies support do these communities need to improve reporting, to improve services and support, but also, most importantly, how do we begin to arrest or stop these from happening. So, it seems like there was this was a collection of different roundtables, and it was great to be there and rekindle some relationships that people haven't seen in a while, and others that were new relationships. So I wanted to share that happened, and then
thank
the
you for going on.
All the last pieces. So we have hired on a new person. So we will have our new senior specialist, senior relations specialist, focus on hate prevention, start with us June 20th. And she comes from an extensive background in disability and accessibility work and community organizing. So excited. Have her come on board. Of course, next time we meet, I'll make sure that she comes and get to meet her.
Okay. Item number 10 is update from OC Chiefs and Sheriff.
Thank you. I think I brought it up with this group before, but something that we're doing at the Irvine Police Department, we created this new program called the Cultural Immersion Sabbatical Program. You know, for us, looking at the city and how diverse it is, and we've got, you know, representation from around the world, you know, there's a lot of training that's out there. There's a lot of different communities that you can tap into and get to, you know, have that connection, that bond, that partnership, that collaboration. But we really wanted to think of something different, something unique that other police departments, especially the police industry, does not do. So we came up with the Cultural Immersion Sabbatical Program. We're partnering with nonprofit groups, and our goal is to send our folks to different parts of the world that our residents have come from. So instead of going out within a community and having that partnership, that's more of a day-to-day interaction, but take them to actually immerse them into that culture and what that looks like. So very proud to say that in September we're going to start sending some of our folks. We're going to Ghana, Guatemala, India, Israel, and South Korea. And those are the first five countries that we're starting with. And then we're looking to expand that as the months go on. Now, obviously, that's very specific to Irvine PD, but that's something I want to be able to push to Orange County Chiefs and the Sheriff. I think there's, with as diverse as our county is, there's a lot of benefit to the different agencies to be able to take advantage. There's a lot of donations that are coming in the police department, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking community donations and investing it back into the community by the way of sending our folks out there and getting this exposure. So something that we're looking to do and push countywide, but our goal is to be the model for a lot of police departments across the country that have those diverse communities to be able to take advantage of a program like this. So, sure. Thank you.
Yes, this is so interesting. And I was listening to hear what countries, knowing who lives in our city, and all this came to me quickly, but I know you're not going to China at this point. I wondered if that is because they're unable to, or there's different country political reasons for that. That's one question. And then my next thought was, how many of our residents are actually coming from places where they are oppressed, and how that may present challenges if someone's coming from a country where either they are a refugee, they fled from a country. We may not even want to get there, right, to understand what they're coming from, but how so many folks who have fled as refugees encounter law enforcement in a different way as a result of their prior experiences with police in their country of origin. And I just wondered if you guys think about things that way. Mm-hmm.
No, that's a great question. That's something we're considering, especially looking at the makeup of our community, a very large Chinese and Taiwanese community. And we are, our goal is to go to either Taiwan or China. With a lot of the political tensions going on right now, we're being mindful of that. And the last thing we want to do is send our employees somewhere and something was to happen in the world and it would prevent them from coming back. But the same would apply to different parts of the world with it as well. When you look at, there's a lot of refugees that are coming over right now from Syria, throughout the years have come from Iraq, Afghanistan. And we're very, very fortunate to work with a lot of nonprofits that actually have provided those services. And I'll give a quick example. I'm trying to remember the name of the nonprofit. It's skipping me right now, but they've worked with the Afghan refugees that have come in. Now we're very fortunate because we actually have a lieutenant that is from Afghanistan. He himself fled Afghanistan at 5 years old on horseback through Pakistan over here. So we've used him in uniform to go and connect with his own community. So even though we're not able to send out some folks to, let's say, Afghanistan area, we're still able to look for other ways to try to connect with people that have had to flee their countries. You know, another example, I'll give you my personal example. Being half Iranian, I mean, we have a huge Iranian community in the States in general, but in Orange County, especially in Irvine, but we can't send folks to Iran right now. But so any way we're able to connect with the Iranian community, we try to do that. We also have another Iranian officer. So my job and his job is to you look at how the police is treating their residents in Iran right now. It's just horrific in so many ways. But for them to come here and to see us and then know like, oh, you're Iranian, you're part of us, you're part of our community, and it's like, yeah, the police is different here. It's not what you're accustomed to. So definitely to go back to your original question about China, yes, we do, that is our goal. We're just trying to find the right nonprofit to make sure that we're sending our folks to an area that is obviously their safety is our big concern.
Thank you, sir.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you, Chief. That sounds like a great program. We need to hear when you start sharing stories about when you come back.
Absolutely. We are, real quick, we're actually giving them I don't know what they're calling it, a media kit, if you want to call it, that's going to have a phone, a camera, and all that cool stuff, a selfie stick. Mm-hmm. So they can capture so much of that. And if we want to bring back and share that via social media, we're going to do a council presentation. I'd love to do a quick presentation here as well. I think it's really important that people see that you know, policing is changing, you know, and it starts from within. The change has to start from within. You have to come up with the ideas of how you can change as a profession to better connect and better serve the community that you're overseeing. So. I'm sorry?
How long
the trip? 1 to 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Depending on work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Next item is item 11, OCSD Interfaith Council update.
Again, to that end, perfect segue, Chief. The sheriff himself really feels like innovation in police work is, and this is the time for it, and creating the Interfaith Council is one of those innovations that took place 5-6 years ago. And so our next event just happens to be in Irvine at my synagogue on June 20th. And we'll be discussing juveniles and the fentanyl epidemic that we're all facing. Again, commissioners are always welcome to come. You just need to shoot me an email so I can make sure you have lunch and also the correct amount of seats. And particularly with your communities, if you know youth advisors or youth ministers or anybody working with youth, I think this is going to be a really effective program. I don't know if Sheriff's reached out to you, Chief, about it, but so we'd love for you to join us and come be part of it.
Thank you. And you said whoever would like to attend.
You just shoot me an email.
Absolutely. Okay, great.
All right, next is announcements from commissioners.
Okay. So Saturday 24th is the Orange County Pride Parade and Festival. I would encourage everybody to, you know, to sign up, whether you have your nonprofit sign up, if they have one, hopefully. I've signed up through my nonprofit. We're going to have a team out there for the parade. If you'd like to join us, like we would welcome you. It's really fun. We always have a good time out there. But I think it's timely that we show our support, be visible. So again, it is June 24th. It's going to be in Santa Ana.
Great. Thank you. And when you're saying join your group, you're going to be...
I have walking the parade, or you have a booth, or...
We
plan to do the parade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to have our seniors and our families and our kids out there.
With the banner of your...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great. Okay, I would like to just, we've brought it up a little bit, but briefly bring up the Board of Supervisors meeting and the vote that they took about flying the flag, which they were saying is generally any flag, but it was pointed directly at the Pride flag. I really had a hard time with that. As Rabbi said, it's too bad we didn't know sooner and could have really tried to rally more people behind it, but it just is so uncomfortable of what we're here to do, what they have appointed us to do, and then what they are representing, what they represented with that vote on Tuesday. So I just wanted to see if anyone else had any comments, feelings. I think we should still contact our supervisors and let them know our response to that. Supervisor Chafee, who was the deciding vote, kept saying that it's not something that has to last, it can be changed. So that's something we can also bring up to him, that he was the one saying it doesn't have to stand. It can be changed if there's enough behind it, it can be changed. But it was very disappointing. And I don't know. It's hard to go. I don't know. It's hard for them, for me to understand where they're coming from with that type of a vote.
Can I just respond to that? And I know I said something earlier, but and I did not listen to their meeting, so I don't know what all their comments were. But we have some good supervisors, so I'm sure that their comments were thoughtful. I would hope that we would leave room for our electeds to make decisions like that without accusing them of then not being supportive of that community, because I know that they are. They show in action and words many times throughout the year that they are supportive of not only the LGBTQ community, but all communities that are marginalized. And they increased our budget. I know that this is a priority for them, you know. So I guess I'd just ask you to look at it holistically, even though I certainly acknowledge your feelings and I appreciate that. Oh, yes.
I just want to say I'm embarrassed. I really feel embarrassed. Unfortunately, I'm not surprised, but I'm saddened and I'm embarrassed. And if I were LGBTQ, I'd feel unwelcome here. And it just feels really wrong, and I haven't said, you know, much. I haven't had a chance to discuss with people because I'm just so deflated by the, you know, by that. And so I pray that if this commission gets money, that we, from the supervisors, that we figure out how to invest it into ensuring our LGBTQ community, you know, feels included, and that we help that community feel safe, and that we focus on hate crimes against that community to be, you know, to help to be halted. But it, you know, of course, I would have loved a different kind of statement, but I understand the position and situation we're in. But it's shameful. It really is, and I do have very, very big judgment on their vote. It means everything to tell someone I'm an immigrant when I'm told that I don't belong here and that I'm not safe here. You know, then what else am I supposed to interpret? That my flag, what represents me, doesn't, you know, like, it shouldn't be in my county. What else is that telling me except that you're not welcome here? So I don't know. The interpretation is, there's no other way to interpret that vote but the fact that they're not welcome. So it's really, that's just how my heart is feeling. Maybe I'll, you know, feel better in a few days, but it definitely feels better to be here in this room knowing that we're trying to work against that.
Can I share
something? Yes.
Thank you. I wasn't surprised, but I am upset about it. And I'll say, in it's kind of politics at its worst to try to circumvent a motion to fly the pride flag and put this no flag policy ahead of it. In 2019, I drafted for Irvine the pride flag ordinance that Councilmember Fox moved that was defeated in 2019. Ultimately, when it came back in 2020, it was passed. But the response in 2019 was exactly this, a pride, a flag policy. So this is a very typical response to efforts to advance the pride flag as a symbol of inclusion anywhere, but be it a city, a county, etc., is to set a limiting flag policy and sort of make this slippery slope argument that if we raise the pride flag, we need to raise the KKK flag or something ridiculous like. At the end of the day, a community decides what its values are and what it communicates to its residents, and I really had hoped to see that, and I hope we see it in the future, that next year, that we have a different outcome.
I want to share something. Being a person that works directly with the communities that are being impacted, we have allies, members, partners, stakeholders from this community in the hate prevention network group and beyond. I received so many notes from those friends about how disheartened they were. One of the things that came back was, and this is the entity that puts out the hate crime report, how am I supposed to feel heard? So I know there's a lot of politics, and there's a lot of things at play. What comes back to me is, how is these communities being impacted, and the messaging that they're getting and they're feeling when these things happen. And when I had the conversation with Chairman Silva, I said, it's such a difficult pill to swallow. Well, we have just built this campaign hoping that everybody understands that hate hurts us all and that we're here to support together, that we're supposed to rally around this issue together. And now we have one of our allies feeling that we're being targeted. I just want to say that I'm so happy that a statement was passed today. I think it's the message that our partners and our friends need to hear, and that it's, oh my gosh, I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but that is such a privilege to be in a space with people who care about this, because we know there's so many others that really don't. But this sends a message, not only to those who are putting policy out there, but most importantly, to the communities that are being affected. Because they're the ones who need to hear that they're not alone, that there's a whole community behind them and they do belong.
Thank you, Ms. Garner. Anyone else?
I want to say a few words. So, I don't know if you guys recall, like, when we opened up in January, we were in any building, and I had the privilege of opening up with our reflection. I read the entire that the supervisors passed in December, which was in December, right?
Yeah.
In which they declared hate and equity or inequity as a public health crisis. And that to me, like, okay, we're at the 6-month mark, we're halfway through the year. And for me, it was utterly disappointing. And I mean, I was so mad, like, on Tuesday. As you guys all reiterated, you know, you weren't surprised. I kicked myself because I was surprised, you know, because I really work in faith in what I do. You know, like, I'll share with you guys, the decisions that I make is based off of my faith, it's based off of my moral compass, it's based off of, you know, people who I surround myself with. Like, I have a lot of young staff, I have a lot of young volunteers, which we take the time to mentor. And I'm always trying to provide a realistic, a pragmatic way to address things with them, right? But on Tuesday, I could not, and I just didn't have it in me at that time to really look at anybody on my team and really have that sense of, oh, we'll work collaboratively, we can do this together at that time, you know? I really was surprised. And I listened actually to the meeting, and I'm still sort of trying to process what I heard, and what I'm sure many of us were inundated with texts and calls, and I was exhausted by that day, and I can't imagine anybody who actually is from the LGBTQ community how they feel. You know, I can try, but I know I can never reach that point. So I just want to share that. That was my takeaway for on that day.
Thanks, Jennifer. Okay, anyone else? Any other topic?
Oh.
So my name is Don Han, director of Community Partnership in Groundswell, aka Bruce Team. I'm still learning how to say the word. It's so new to me. The last 22 years or so, I've been with the agency. I have the privilege to work and with our youth. And that's why today is very touching for me to see our youth here talking about their experience of working with other youth. At one time, my role with the agency was with the commission team, being the hate crime respondent. I'm actually the person that get called from the sheriff's department said we have family or anything to experience a hate crime, can you come out and provide support? About 15 years ago, I had the privilege to serve as a Clinton Orange County chairperson, gay, straight, line, mm-hmm. gay, lesbian, straight educated network. Here in Orange County, one of the oldest chapters. My passion for that was when I was doing our bridges program, I had many new students that I had the privilege to be able to work with in schools, in high school in particular, who were afraid to come out to be who they were. And I remember a young man when he was already in UCLA. Came back and reached out to me and shared that I came out, you know, he's so proud. He said, I was able to find a space where I feel comfortable. He was not talking about the school setting, he was talking about the space of his dormitory. He couldn't come out when he was at home, he didn't feel safe at home. And in my own personal life, at one time, I remember in 1975 when the communists took over our country. And I remember not too long after that when my family escaped and became refugees. And I remember hearing the word America and seeing the American flag and what that signified to me and my family. What was it mean to have the hope? And I also have learned that in our society as an American, there are a lot of groups that are being excluded and not protected by our own body, in a sense. Pride flag signifies to the group, to the LGBTQ group, that I feel safe. I feel I belong. And I'm hoping that people can see me as who I am in my society. I hope that a wonderful elected official or non-elected official, people who are in our community, will embrace a community that we all should belong. Because, like Chief said, we should take that extra effort to learn about our differences and celebrate that and embrace that. So I hope that this commission continues to do what you are doing, and I'm very proud to see that you passed that statement to support the most marginalized community. In the last 22 years, I know that the top three targeted groups in Orange County, if you back look at our data, our report that we put out, LGBTQ, anti-Semitic, anti-Black. Always be the top three most targeted group in North Carolina. Thank you.